worship. Lord, we thank you for the honor and privilege of that. And Lord, we ask your continued healing to be upon Bonnie. Lord, that the medicine would work. And Lord, we thank you that she's doing well. We thank you, God, that the fluid is not as much. And Lord, we just ask you to eradicate that cancer in Jesus' name. Lord, we continue to pray peace on her and peace on Jerry in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we remember those that are grieving among us. Lord, specifically this morning, we remember Mike and Sandy. And Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would comfort them. Lord, we remember the Eisenhower family. Remembering it's been 1 year since we lost Janet. And Lord, we just ask peace and comfort on the Eisenhower family in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, just bless and provide for those who mourn. Lord, we pray for Jolie, Susan and Danny's daughter, who's going to be flying the end of April. Lord, we ask you to be a shield and you would protect her in Jesus' name. We remember a little baby, Bryson, who's going to have heart surgery tomorrow. Father, we ask your healing on that little baby in Jesus' name. We pray for all of the issues that little one is enduring right now. And Lord, we ask healing. We ask peace. We ask restoration to him. We ask wholeness, shalom of God, wholeness on baby Bryson in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for Danny, who is undergoing just kidney stones again. And Lord, that's just been a constant issue for him. And God, we ask healing on him in Jesus' name. That you would dissolve those kidney stones, the root issue of the why and all of that with his body. Lord, we just ask healing to come, that those kidney stones would dissolve. Lord, we ask peace, we ask healing, we ask restoration on Danny in Jesus' name. Lord, we celebrate those that have been able to see loved ones for the first time in over a year. We celebrate with Mike and Dixie. Lord, he got to go down and see their grandson this week in Jackson, Mississippi. And Lord, just thank you that we're able to get out and about again. We just give you all glory, all honor, all praise. We thank you that you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. We thank you, Father, that you see us, that your eye is upon us, that your ear is attentive to our cry. Psalm 34 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. Taste and see that the Lord is good. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Lord, we thank you for the promise that we have in you, the promise that we have in your word. We love you. We praise you. We praise you, Lord, that you are the soon and coming King. I pray, Lord, we would be ready. We thank you that your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Pray for our nation, we pray for our leaders, that they would be men and women who honor you, who love you, who serve you. Lord, that they would bow the knee, that they would honor you, God. Have mercy, Jesus. Give wisdom to our governing authorities in Jesus' name. We pray the prayer, Jesus, that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for the givers. We thank you for these tithes, these gifts, and these offerings. Lord, we pray you bless them. And multiply them for your glory's sake, in Jesus' name. Amen. verses 1 and 3, read 504, verses 1 and 3, the old rugged cross. All right. Oh, go ahead. Does the rest resurrection of Jesus Christ. What does that say about this? And I love the Psalms. It's the Hebrew prayer book. It's their hymn book. And when I first really started reading the Psalms, I thought, is it really okay to be this honest? Because the psalmist is angry in that book. And there's some, and he's depressed in that book. And as I read some of it, I mean, there's some psalms where David is so angry, he's praying that his enemy's babies would, you know, their heads would be bashed against rocks. It's like, David, whoa! You know, what are you doing, David? And yet, it gives voice to our emotions. And when we read the psalms like that, well, what did Jesus have to say about that? He said, bless your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So we read those psalms, and yes, we offer up all of our feelings, all of our angst up to the Lord, but that's just a really good hermeneutic. Is if you read the psalms and you're like, well, there's some pretty violent stuff in there. Yeah, but have you paid attention to your thoughts sometimes? To the things you feel sometimes? So we're going to look at Psalm 32 through that lens. What are the great and precious promises? What are things that we can stand on in this psalm? So hear the word of the Lord. Psalm 32, it says it's a maskil. It's a song. It's a song of David. David is writing, he's singing. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts. Some of your translations say, you surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. What does the cross of Jesus Christ, how does this psalm, where do we see Jesus in this? Verses 1 and 2, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Celebrating Easter, I read to you a couple Sundays ago, Isaiah 53, with that beautiful Old Testament promise about prophesying about Jesus. And Isaiah wrote, surely he's borne our griefs, and he's carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement, was the punishment that brought us peace. And by his wounds we are healed. Through Jesus Christ, this promise comes true. We are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. John writes in 1 John 1, he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us, to purify us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 103, it says, praise the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of your sins and heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. And you go down to verse 12 of Psalm 103, and he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. What if astronomers, can they measure as far as east is from the west? Can we measure that? No. As far as the east is from the west, we are forgiven. And that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. together for the next 3 weeks. It's actually going to be the call to worship for next week. But 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, there's a fancy word there in some of your Bibles. I'm going to read it because I don't want to stumble bumble it. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Again, going back to Isaiah 53, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Propitiation is a fancy theological word for all of the punishment, all of the wrath that was due us because of our rebellion and we're separated from God. All of that was put on Jesus on the cross. So when we read Psalm 32, blessed is the man and the woman whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. It's wiped out. It's like owing $1 million, and Jesus comes and he wipes that debt out. Good news. It's good news. Our sins are covered. We are forgiven. We're cleansed through him. It's beautiful. There's freedom in that. Those of us, and I'm going to get to this in a moment, that walk in condemnation and all of that, you all, you're carrying something that Jesus bought for you. You don't have to carry that because he paid for it with his own life and his death and his wounds. When you think you've got to earn it or you feel it weighted down, you're saying the sacrifice of Jesus isn't enough for you. It's enough. It's more than enough. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man or woman against the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Again, John talks about being honest with the Lord, and then if we say, well, I don't sin, he's like, the truth of God isn't in you. Part of becoming a Christian is realizing, wow, I have fallen short. I need help. I am not good enough. I can't be moral enough. I can't follow all the rules. Lord, I need you. Come in and change me. And David is just like, have a good and honest heart. Admit who you are. Agree with God. And his forgiveness is right there. What's it feel like when we don't do that? Verses 3 and 4. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. And I know some of you love summer. How many of you love summer? You just love it. Yeah, hot, sun. Yeah, there's a few of you who love it. Bless you. Bless you. It's my least favorite of all. And it's right there. My strength was dried up. It's by the heat of summer. I am truly a pansy. Pansies are beautiful right now, right? They love the cool. They're as happy as they can be when it's like 40 degrees. Sun's not beating down on them. But it starts getting 75, 80, 85, pansies are done. Because when the sun comes and it beats down on you, it dries you up. And when you're out there for a long time, you're out there, it's exhausting, and you just feel sapped. And David has said, when I carry my sin, and when I don't confess it, I groan, and it's hopeless. There's condemnation. There's heaviness. There's darkness. And you just feel, you literally feel like this. You just feel weighted down. You can't carry it. There's guilt. There's shame. There's condemnation. The image is there. My bones wasted away. I'm groaning all day long. Your hand is heavy upon me. Some of you know what that feels like. What is the remedy? Verse 5. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. That goes back to the fall. Adam and Eve in the garden. What did they do when they rebelled? They hid themselves. They covered themselves up. They hid their nakedness. And they hid from God. And And was God angry at them? No, he went looking for them. Where are you? Where are you? He goes looking for them. But when we sin, we hide. And we think God's mad at us. And we're filled with shame and guilt and condemnation. And David says, but I acknowledge my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. We bring it out into the light, because where there's darkness, and when we hide it, the enemy loves that, because then it just, you know, that's where his power is, when we hide things in darkness. But when we confess it and we bring it to the light, there's deliverance there. David said, verse 5, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. 1 John 1, how do we become Christians? If we confess, we say it out loud of our mouth. If we confess with our mouth, that's Romans. Romans. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we just but bring it to the light. James chapter 5, I want to go there, because you see this a lot in Jesus' ministry, and I'm seeing this, the Lord's kind of highlighting this for me right now in just my personal readings. James chapter 5, there's a correlation often with healing, physical healing, and forgiveness of sins. And it's right here in James. I'm going to start in verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. There's a theme as we bring things into the light. And sadly, in the church, it hasn't been a safe place for us to be able to come and gather together and confess our sins to one another, because we condemn one another, we look down upon another, and it's often not a safe place. But that's not Jesus' intent. And my prayer is that he would heal the body of Christ enough, heal our relationships, that it would be a safe place that we could come together. John Wesley, they would have house groups that would meet every week, and they would confess their sins to one another, and they would pray for one another. And there was great healing and power in that. And we need to come back to that, because as we bring things into the light, the chains are broken from the enemy. And so we confess our sins and bring them to the light. We don't have to be sapped. We don't have to be like a pansy that's, when it gets about 85 degrees, you know, you're just dying. No, that God does not want us to be like this. He wants us to know and accept what he's done for us on the cross. He paid for it all. All of the wrath that was due us was put on him on the cross. Confess our sins. And everyone who is godly, verse 6, pray to you while you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. The Hebrews did not like water. And when you see water, that was one of the things that they were most afraid of. And so when it says this roar of great water, and a lot of us have fear. Some of you have fear. The Lord wants to break that off of us. But we just have to be real. Sometimes we're afraid. And that David is using the illustration of water, because that was a common thing that the Hebrews were afraid of. When surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Well, David, that's easy for you to say. You don't know my situation. And yet, what was David's situation? David had a promise from God that he was going to be king, but it did not happen right away. The former king, Saul, hated him. He was after him. He tried to murder him. And David was constantly on the run for years, hiding in caves. He knew what it was like to have enemies chasing after him. He knew what it was like to have a bounty on his head. And so David's words come down to us, and he says, you know what? God is going to be your refuge. God is going to be your strength. You can find in him a hiding place. That's why it's so important, so important for us to take time to be with the Lord. Because the scripture repeatedly says that the enemy, the devil, he roams around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Peter says, resist him, standing firm in the faith. How do we resist him? We have to know the word of God. We have to take time with him, because we've got constant bombardment all the time with fear, intimidation, all of it. And so taking time, David said, you are my hiding place. Take time with him, wherever that is. Maybe it's in your chair in your living room. Maybe it's, you know, at the fairgrounds as you walk. But take time to be with him. Find him as your hiding place. He is a safe place. Romans 8, so beautiful. A really familiar passage of scripture. Our assurance. Paul says, y'all, we're more than conquerors. And again, you're like, well, Paul, what did he know about suffering? Paul knew more about suffering than you and I will probably ever know. He'd been a murderer of Christians. He encounters God. And then everywhere he went after that, people were trying to kill him. They were trying to take him out. He knew a whole lot about suffering. He knew a whole lot about the temptation to be afraid. And yet, what does Paul write in Romans 8? He says, we are more than conquerors. It's an interesting word, because conqueror would be enough, right? We're conquerors. He can say, we're conquerors in Jesus. But he puts a prefix on that word. He kind of makes up a word there. And he said, we're more than conquerors. You're more than that, because of the power of Jesus Christ risen from the dead, living in you. You don't have to succumb to the things going on around you. You are more than conquerors. Let's read that. Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised. He is at the right hand. He's interceding for you. He's got your back. He died for you. He loved you. He's been risen. He ascended. And he's interceding for you. You all, you're going to make it. Jesus is on your side. The risen one is on your side. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Y'all need to remember that. Get that in your soul. Get that in your spirit. Meditate on that. Memorize that. Read that out loud every day. You are more than a conqueror. That's what the word of God says about you. Paul writes in Philippians 1, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you, he's going to finish it. Y'all, he's faithful. He's going to finish what he started in you. One of my favorite scriptures when I first became a Christian, because the enemy is going to come, and he's going to accuse you, and he's going to try to bring condemnation on you. He's going to try to squelch you. Jude, the last two verses in the book of Jude, says, now to him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. He's able to keep you from falling. He He's able to present you before the throne blameless and without accusation. Ha! That's good news, y'all. That's good news. That's your God. That's the assurance that we have. And David is saying, in the rush of great waters, they're not going to reach you. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. You surround me with songs of deliverance. You've heard me pray that more than once in my time here. One of the beautiful things the Holy Spirit will do for me, and he will do it for you too, and I bet he already does. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. When my mama was dying, she was my best friend, and I was grieving and just, Lord, what's going on? Diagnosed with cancer at the same time my mom is dying. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. You know what he was doing? You know, I would wake up with a song in the night. He was singing me songs. He would sing hymns, old hymns that mom and I used to play the oboe and mom would play. He would surround me. He just surrounded me with songs. When I was sick, coming back from the Soviet Union in 1991, passed out, fainted, thought I was going to die in the train. I was so sick. My friend came in. What'd she do? She started singing over me. Prayed and started singing over me. I could hear her sing. He will sing to you. He's a singer of songs. Ephesians chapter 5. Do not get drunk with wine. Verses 18. Ephesians 5, 18 through 19. Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. One of the signs of being filled with the Holy Ghost is he gives us a song. He gives you a song. David says he will surround you with songs of deliverance. Start praying that before you go to bed. God, sing me a song. I want a song of deliverance. Sing. Ask him and he'll do it. He'll do it. You'll wake up. He might give you a new song. We might have psalmists here. And he might give you a new song. But he's a singer of songs. David says, don't be afraid. I will not be afraid. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. We're born again. We're saved. Jesus paid it all. Is that it? Did we just get saved and that's it? Verses 8 and 9. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Some of my most favorite scriptures found in John chapter 14 and 17. And in those scriptures, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, and he's going to come, and he will teach you. He said he will guide you into all truth. He's our teacher, and he wants us to grow up in him. John chapter 15. Jesus is talking about abide in me. Abide in me. That word abide is to dwell. Live in me, and I in you. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you will. He's calling us to a lifetime of being with him, of living with him, of encountering him, of abiding in him, of dwelling in him, and letting his word come in to our lives. Not just one and done, I'm saved, I checked that off, I can go do what I want. No, it's growing with him. It's growing with him. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. We read further down in